And as we were singing that song, I was really, I was praying and really praying that God would open our eyes to the reality that His Word does change us. It is powerful. It is real. The very words of God before us. Having said that, could you open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. I found that preaching through a gospel is different than preaching through the epistles. In the epistles, God reveals truth systematically almost, where we can really dig in and sink our teeth into it. And those truths are fairly easy to find. And then we learn from them. I learn from them, and I bring them to you. And hopefully you're learning and growing from as well. With the Gospels, it's a bit different. Especially early on here, we are seeing the early life of Jesus. And it's been mostly a story. So we are looking at the story, and we pull truth from the story, and we try to apply it to our lives. The passage we are in today is a transition passage, because the next time we get together, Lord willing, we will start the Sermon on the Mount, which will be rich for our lives, rich truth. But we are not there yet. However, we are transitioning there. So let's read this together. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 25. This is the word of God. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went to lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea and beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your words, your word. And Father, I do pray as we look at it now that you would speak to us directly through it. Father, I pray for your spirit to empower me to preach and proclaim your truth. And I pray your spirit then works in each of our hearts to not only see it, but to believe it and to live it. So I thank you that you will do this because you have promised to. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 16. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Light has dawned. Much of the first four chapters of Matthew has been storytelling. Stories of the birth and the early life and the baptism and the temptation of Jesus. Stories. Telling a story. But it's a real story. It's a historical story. And it's an important story for us. But in all honesty, I'm not a storyteller. My favorite passages to preach are passages with deep truth, truth I can dig into and then proclaim to you. And a big part of the reason, in all honesty, that God led me to the Gospel of Matthew is to preach through the Sermon on the Mount. It is my God-given desire to slowly and deeply learn from Jesus as he teaches on the reality of the kingdom of God and how to live in it. To have that become part of me and change me and bring it to you and change you as well. And I want us to go there. I want us to be there. I want to learn from God on how to live for him. But first, we need to know who it is we are learning from. We need to know, we need to be sure that we are learning from God and what we are hearing is true. Once we are convinced that he who is teaching is God, then we can listen and we can hear and we can learn with confidence that his words are life-giving and eternal. We have 14 verses of story here to go through, and then three chapters of the greatest sermon, the greatest teaching ever to grace humanity. In our passage, this story transitions from learning about Jesus to learning from Jesus. It transitions from learning about the king to learning how to live in the king's kingdom. Look at the transition in verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." From that time, Jesus began to preach. The main introduction is over. It's time for him to preach. In the first four chapters, we learned a number of truths. We've learned that Jesus is the Son of God. We learn that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one of God. We learn that God the Father is well pleased with Jesus. And we learn that God is with us. God the Son is here. And there is one more truth of who Jesus is we need to see. He is the light. He is the great light. Verse 12. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he, Jesus, withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. The title of the message today is A Light Has Dawned. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, page 573 in the Pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 9. In the Gospel of Luke, he tells us that Jesus left Nazareth because after teaching there, the people were filled with wrath against him and they were ready to push him off a cliff. However, our God always works everything together for good. And Jesus' journey when he left Nazareth was into Galilee, which was a despised and very dark place. The prophet Isaiah says this in chapter 9, 1. Look at it with me. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. And let's keep going, and we'll see this prophecy would become very familiar to us. Isaiah 9:3. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as a fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. On the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Turn back to our passage in Matthew 4. Here is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. In this place of darkness, in this place of death, in this place people dwell in darkness in the shadow of death, and on them a light has dawned. On them the light has first shone brightly. Light has dawned, and from that time Jesus began to preach. I want to look at these 14 verses in reference to the dawning of the light. Let me make it clear. When I say Jesus is the light, it means all of who Jesus is. But Jesus is. He is the light of the world. 15 truths about the dawning of the light. Oh, wait, that's a misprint. Five. Five truths on the dawning of the light. Number one, the one pointing to the light is done, and now the light can shine. Verse 12. Now when he had heard that John had been arrested, he, Jesus, withdrew into Galilee. Flip back just a couple pages to Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. When he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. Let's look at John's purpose. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptist's job was to prepare the way for Jesus. And when John was arrested, John's ministry was completed. And Jesus now takes center stage. And he withdrew to Galilee, and Galilee was a dark, dark place. And for those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Flip back to chapter 4. The one pointing to the light is done, and now the light can shine. Second truth, the dawning of the light brings the kingdom of heaven and calls us to change. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus preaches. Not teaches, Jesus preaches, he proclaims, he preaches the need for repentance. The world is in darkness. The world is deceived, and evil is the way of the world, and death is the fruit. The dawning of the light brings truth and righteousness and life, but there must be repentance. There must be a changing of one's mind from evil to good. There must be a turnaround from evil actions to righteous deeds. There must be a heartfelt sorrow to God for our sin against him. We must have a fundamental turnaround involving mind and actions which includes overtones of grief, resulting in fruit in keeping with repentance. The dawning of the light preaches repentance. Why? Verse 17, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king of the kingdom is here. The dawning of the light. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is a now but not yet reality. For now, the kingdom is more rule and reign rather than realm. The kingdom is at hand because the king has come. His words have come. His deeds have come. His teaching and preaching, his miracles and healings have come. God's saving sovereignty and reign have dawned. The time for his son's death and resurrection have come. And brothers and sisters, the end of this age will usher in the entirety of his kingdom, and he will come again to rule and reign in this realm. Amen. The dawning of the light has come. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Number three, God's people give up their lives to follow the light, to become ambassadors of reconciliation for the kingdom of God. God's people give up their lives to follow the light. We see this in verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. When God calls his people, they hear and they give up their lives and they follow him. When God's people hears his call, they serve him in a manner in which he has purposed for them. When the light dawns in our lives, we repent. For the king of the kingdom is at hand, and he demands all of us. In order to follow our king, we must deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. Jesus tells Peter, Andrew, James, and John that he will make them fishers of men. Brothers and sisters, this is the calling of the king to all of his servants. We are to be witnesses of the dawning of the light. Each and every single one of us are to be fishers of men and women as we proclaim the truth, the love, and the light of the God who saved us from our sins. God's people give up their lives to follow the light, to become ambassadors of reconciliation for the King of the kingdom. Number four, the light brings and is the good news of God. Verse 23, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And this literally translated as the Holman Christian Standard says, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Preaching the good news of the kingdom, the good news of a God who loves and is sovereign over all things. The good news of a God who sends his son to die for our sin and sets us free. The good news of a God who raised Christ from the dead and will raise us as well to live with him forever. The good news of a king who is here and a kingdom that is at hand. The good news that the light has dawned and darkness and death are defeated. And we see that Jesus is the good news as he reveals his power by teaching, preaching, and healing. The light has dawned, and his mouth is opened, and his power is revealed. Verse 23. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Jesus healed every disease, every affliction. The people brought him all of the sick, and he healed them. The light brings and is the good news of God. And lastly, 5, the light draws many. Verse 25, and great crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Great crowds. Great crowds. Jesus drew great crowds. Jesus came into the world, and the world was in great darkness and death, and his coming like was a sponge to water. People flocked to see the man and to hear his words and to experience his power. Jesus was the dawning of a great light in extreme darkness, and people came by the thousands upon thousands to be in the light. And next time we get together, we will see that the light speaks the truth of the kingdom of God, and it is a hard truth. It is hard to understand, and it is hard to live. Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 1 and we'll be done. The thing about the crowds that came to the light, the thing about the thousands and the thousands that came to the light, is that most do not embrace the light and fall into darkness and death forever. If you want to come to the light and stay there, then you must repent and believe. Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, this is the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Light has dawned. True light has come into the world. Have you received him? Have you believed in his name? If you have not, then I implore you on behalf of Christ, believe and be reconciled to God. Believe in what Christ did for you on the cross. Believe in the truth that Christ took upon him all of your sins, and they were nailed to the cross, and you are forgiven. Believe that he did that for you. The light has dawned in your darkness. Repent of your sin against God, believe in his name, and become a child of God and live with him forever. That is my plea. That is God's plea to you through me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son in the darkest of places to shine the light the brightest, to shine the light of truth, the light of love, the light of the reality that you are a God who demands complete righteousness and holiness, something we can never attain, something we've all fallen short of, and the light of the reality that you loved us so much that you sent them. And Father, because of Jesus, because of the perfect life that he lived and our sin he bore upon him on the cross, experiencing your wrath for us, that's a truth, Father, that is amazing and real. And I pray for those that have never embraced or relied on Christ for salvation, Father, they would do it now. By your grace, for your glory, believe now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.